Larry McCarron podcasting with Mike McCarthy, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And Mike, that's a pretty cool job title. And 29 years ago or so, when you got into coaching, did you have any of those hopes, dreams, and aspirations? Or when you got into this, what were you thinking?
When I got into coaching back in 1987, graduate assistant at Fort Hays State in Kansas, my goal was to be a head coach at the collegiate level. That was when I started. Didn't have a goal in mind. I mean, obviously, Division I is what you're always thinking about when you start coaching in college. But yes, my goal was to coach the college athlete because I felt that was a period in a young man's life that you could probably make the biggest impact. Outside of his family, but to be someone in a young man's life that you can be impactful. So, and then the good Lord blessed me with the opportunity to go to the Kansas City Chiefs in 1993 as a quality control coach, and I've been in the league ever since. So just was very fortunate to get a break, being on Paul Hackett, was the offensive coordinator coming from University of Pittsburgh, and obviously Marty Schottenheimer and Carl Peterson gave me that opportunity.
Mike, a number of times I've heard you say, I was fortunate I came up the right way. What exactly do you mean by the right way when it comes to coaching?
Well, you have terms like grinder and grunt. And, I think today's young coach or people making a transition into coaching probably don't realize how it was in those days. Frankly, if you think about it, in 87 and 88, I was a graduate assistant, but also got my master's degree at Fort Hays State. I was a volunteer coach in 89. Didn't earn a nickel. I mean, we went to work every day, ever how many hours you work to. You just work endless because, the technology today is so much different. So the time demands. So you were, midnight was an early night. So, and then I was a graduate assistant for 2 years at Pitt. So, I mean, I spent 5 years where I didn't make any money. So, was around a lot of outstanding, really excellent football coaches that I was able to learn from. So, and that's where really the blessing is professionally, is the people that I was able to be around and just the way they influence your life. I mean, our coaching staff at Pitt was, John Fox had just left to go to the Steelers, and then, Paul Hackett was an NFL coach, and, you go down the whole list of the guys, and they've all were in the NFL. Bob Valicente was on Coach Goffrey's staff, and then comes Fred Von Oppen, who is coming from the 49ers staff, and John Gruden came over from the 49ers, and he left to go to the Green Bay Packers. Marvin Lewis was on our staff, and then he left to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, I mean, I'm being influenced by Scotty O'Brien, was an outstanding special teams coach that went to the NFL and had a phenomenal career. So you had all these outstanding football coaches that you were just a young guy breaking in that you were able to learn from. And, it's incredible. I mean, I think almost our whole Pitt staff has coached in the NFL at some point. So, and I'm just a young guy coming from Fort Hays State. So you can see why, the opportunity to volunteer there. Coach Goffrey was excellent the 1 year that I was able to be under him. So I was able to see two different types of programs from Coach Goffrey to Coach Hackett. And, we had a lot of coaches go through there that were moving on to the NFL. So it was just a great experience. And then to go from there to the Kansas City Chiefs, which was a veteran coaching staff. And shoot, I couldn't take notes fast enough for those 5 years.
Mike, yesterday you were talking about the Super Bowl I guys and glowing terms and so forth. And at one point you did throw in, it was different back then. And in your 29 years or so in the business, when you talk about different, are the guys, the players, the guys, are they different? Do you find them different?
Well, I think society and, the cultures that they come from and so forth has adjusted it. But, for the football players, are still football players. So at the core, I think they're the same because the ability to play this game and to do what they do for a living, it's not normal. It's not normal to run down the field as fast as you can and propel your body into another guy that's running down the field as fast as he can and wants to propel his bought into you. So, I mean, when you break it down in simplistic terms, it's not a normal way to make a living. But also, I mean, we're making a living playing the game, and that's where sometimes we can't forget that. And I think, you know, in the teams from the 60s and, you know, the alumni, they just exude that. I mean, their love for their game, their love to come back and be a Green Bay Packer. And I mean, when they get up and talk about the Green Bay Packers and their times, the Packers, and you see the bond that they have with one another, it's special. I mean, I enjoy it. You know, you and I do the American Family Children's Hospital benefit down there in Madison, and your Q&As, I mean, it's the highlight of the night, because you just got to tee it up, and they start talking, and then, you know, every year you learn something. You learn something about the Green Bay Packers. You know, you learn something about Donnie Anderson. You learn something about Dave Robinson. You know Jerry Kramer, and then, you know, Willie Davis, getting to know him over the years. So, I mean, just on and on and on. I mean, Zeke Borkowski's there every year. So those guys they're phenomenal, and they're just so they're part of it. I mean, once you're part of this organization, you're always part of the organization, and their contributions in the 60s is still going onward today, and that's special.
Mike, I think there's a misconception out there that guys in the current era aren't as tough as the old guys. And there was a couple of great examples just this past week. Devontae Adams hurts his ankle during the game, bad enough that they cart him into the locker room, okay? Second half, Devontae Adams is back out there. And then early in the week, you said Eddie Lacy, well, he's a type of player and third year in the league. If he can't practice much, that's okay. Well, he's out of practice yesterday and doing quite a bit, really. Guys are still tough. Tough is tough, is it not?
I agree, and you can't really measure that. And let's be honest, too, there's more information today. You know, when a guy comes off the field, there, you know, the training staff's giving them more information about, you know, the injury, how did it happen, and you are a little more protective because of the advancement in the, you know, strength and training and the medical part of this game too. So they are more protected, but the fact of the matter is, once you go back to the core of the professional football player, it's what they do for a living is, it's not a normal act, but what they overcome, their ability to survive and to create that next opportunity for themselves, you know, you're going to get to the point here where no one's really 100%, because, you know, after the third or fourth car wreck that these guys go through, it's not going to be right for a couple months after the season. So, yeah, definitely, I mean, these are tough young men, and you really appreciate the guys that are doing it at such a young age. So, that tells you something about them, what they're made of. And on the other side of it, you got great examples all the way through the locker room of guys that play, you know, they play through those types of situations.
Something else about your locker room in particular, because I'm around all the time, and you get a sense whether it's baloney or the real deal. I think this generation, there's a lot of me to it. There's selfies and all that kind of stuff, and everybody's got a marketing guy. I don't even know what's a marketing guy. Everybody's got one. However, when you talk to your guys, there's an unselfish, team-first attitude in there. And I don't think that's a blanket situation around the league when you look at what goes on. How does that happen in today's day and age? What do you think?
Well, I think it's it goes back to you get what you emphasize and you also get what you tolerate. We this is the 10th year of our program, and we tried to keep being creative and enhancing it each and every year and to make sure you got the total buy-in from your players. You know, it starts in the player, you know, acquisition end of it, as far as the type of people Ted brings in here, as far as through the draft. It's our job through player instruction to develop them, and Russ Ball does an excellent job in the player finance part of it, of, you know, obviously keeping our cap and paying the guys that you want to keep building on and going forward with. So that keeps your culture headed in the right direction, because, you know, one thing about culture, everybody throws this culture term around, you know, but who, you know, define it. To me, culture is something that never stays the same, and it's either flowing one direction or the other, and the tough part is to get it to flow the right direction. But once you get it flowing, you got to you want to get it flowing stronger and stronger and stronger. And really now having these core players here, you got the examples of the total buy-in. And, hey, if you do it a certain way, you know, and put the team first, all your individual goals will be fulfilled. And that's the fact of the matter. It's, you know, and we've all been places where, you know, guys worried about his statistics and worried about what his, you know, his legacy is going to be and so forth and so forth. But we have guys in the locker room that have, they won Super Bowl 45 and they've seen the benefits of not only just to them individually, but to their place in history of the Green Bay Packers. And now, you know, how important it is to keep the team goal in front of the individual goal. So we have a very healthy leadership group that is really a driving force behind it. But it's, you know, it's something that Ted and I talk a lot about. Big part of our conversations are how do players fit into the locker room. And you know, it's when the selfishness does become a trend and a pattern and so forth, and it becomes an issue, then, you know, you obviously have to take a hard look at that.
Let's go back to the beginning of the week, Mike. How'd you celebrate the big win over the Seahawks?
Wow, shoot. Went home to a sleeping household. Just maybe slept in an hour or two earlier and came to work the next day. But it's, you know, night games are hard to celebrate because you really don't have much time. That's why, you know, that's the other reason why I like a noon game. You have a noon game, you get to go home and celebrate with your family. So, but, yeah, it was a good win. But, you know, just the fact of the matter, by the time you get through the training room and check on everybody and so forth, it's, you know, it's too late to really celebrate, I guess.
Well, that leads me to the next thing. Okay, you got 63 players, a coaching staff, and really a whole building that if you say jump, they're going to say how high. That's the way it is. However, when you go home,
I'm jumping, Mike.
And so, but I've always thought that's a good thing, isn't it? Like, your kids, they got their own lives. Did you play today? I mean, I always think that keeps a guy normal. What do you think?
It's the best part of my life. I mean, you know, my oldest daughter, Alex, flew in town last night, and Isabella and Gabrielle, we went to pick her up at the airport way past their bedtime. So, you know, we were out there, and just to see the way, you know, they run and greet their big sister and come home. And so those are the best times is when we're all there as a family. And one of the positives of a Monday night football game, you do have a little more time at the end of the day to spend with your family. So this will be a really good family weekend. So, yes, that's the most important part of my life, and it really helps me keep things in perspective when it comes to my job.
How do you, as a player, I always hated night games because it's a long day. How do you kill the day? How do you kill that time?
Fill it up. I mean, sometimes I leave things, you know, that I normally have done the day before. I'll leave it to that day just so I got something to do. The time before a game, I've always worked on that game just to keep, you know, keep it fresh, keep it going. So, you know, I've actually felt like I cheated the process last week. I didn't get here till 11 o'clock, and the game was at 7:30. So, you know, I felt like I was late. So I usually just come over from the hotel, but. I keep busy working on the game. It just in calling plays in the past, it's you would never work on the next opponent. But you know, our staff is frankly going to work, you know, tomorrow on San Francisco, and so we'll get some preliminary game plan done, you know, Sunday, and just clean up Monday morning. You know, but by noon we all got to be focusing on back on the Chiefs game and so forth. So you know, it's the NFL. It's a 7-day-a-week business for the whole season. I mean, there's really the only day off you get is on the bye week, and that's just the facts of the matter.
What kind of game are you expecting Monday night?
Kind of game am I expecting?
Yeah.
You know, it's still we're still in the phase of the season where, you know, unscouted looks are going to be high, and I think when you combine that with an uncommon opponent, I think you're going to see some jockeying. You know, as far as what goes on schematically, and but you know, I think they're gonna, you know, they're going to try to keep Aaron in a pocket. You know, I'll be surprised if you don't see a lot of five-man pressure. I'm trying to set the edges and so forth. And they have a, you know, core plays that they get to on offense, but their first 15 is very creative. And so we're going to see some things that early in the game that we haven't seen before. And in their special teams, I think this is going to be a huge challenge. I mean, they got really good return, two good returners, and their specialists are excellent, both the punter and kicker. So I think it's going to be a heck of a football. I think it's going to be a heck of a football game.
Mike, thank you. Good luck.
Thank you, Larry.